The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very special Thanksgiving Eve program. And this program is coming to our listeners just in Gainesville today, not across the network. We're doing something really unique on this Thanksgiving Eve, and that is having a pastor from each of our three markets on the network give a special program, and that's what today is. For Gainesville, we are happy to be talking to my good friend Phil Corson from Abundant Grace Community Church, and that is on 39th Avenue, about a mile and a half west of I-75. Phil, welcome to my program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
It's always great to talk to you, my friend. And on this day, when we look back over our year, you know, one of the reasons, as we are now on the eve of Thanksgiving, tomorrow is a day around the nation. Something really unusual happens. I think it's maybe one of the only days a year that is actually, there's an expectation that when people are gathered around the table, they're going to be thinking about things for which they are thankful. And that doesn't happen on most holidays. Most holidays can be spent with either busyness or just absorbed with what's going on. But on this day in America, we have set it aside with this particular purpose in mind. And I know that not every family still will do that, but it is a wonderful thing to do. And for a believer, it's really an appropriate thing to do, isn't it?
It sure is, Mike. I think I can't think of any other time other than Thanksgiving where you probably have the wide range of family coming together. Christmas time is more of your immediate family. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving is a time where it's opened up to extended family. And, you know, for us personally, Thanksgiving for us, we'll have, you know, 40 to 50 people between my mom's house and our house. We live next door to each other. And that's all, you know, that's all family, cousins, everybody's coming together. And we're looking to have a great time of seeing each other and catching up.
That's a really great point. I never had thought of it. I had not quite made that connection about extended family even. But Thanksgiving is definitely that. I can think of some special Thanksgivings in my own family. When we first moved to Florida, we did not have any member of our family living anywhere near us. The closest family member was 850 miles away. And I remember one Thanksgiving year, I'd heard about some young men. They had visited our church at Metro back in the early days. And they were sailors back when the Navy Training Center was going on. And we invited them over and they joined my family. We didn't know them from Adam, but we got to know them that day, and they loved it because they were down here for basic and they didn't have their family members around. So you talk about a very special time. That was something that we'll never forget. And you've got friends probably from the church coming over as well as all your family members.
That is correct. We do have a number of families, mostly singles. There are some families like you that, you know, their family, immediate family is not around. And so we're having, I would say about, I think it's like six or seven that will be coming over. And so we're looking to have a great time. It's a good time of fellowship. It's a good time of catching up. It's a good time of seeing cousins and uncles and nephews and nieces. And we just have a great time. But more importantly, Mike, I think while, you know, this idea of family's there, one of the things that we love to do is to drive home how thankful for we are, first and foremost, to the Lord for what he's done for us. And then secondly, how important and loving family is.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to remember those things. And You know, I think the gift of family to us all, and there are some, and, you know, Phil, this is a sad reality, but for many people, the holidays beginning at Thanksgiving is like the beginning of sad times for them. They don't have a good memory of families coming together. In fact, it could be just the opposite for many, many people.
Yeah.
But even when that is true, even for the person who has been hurt by family members on holidays and might even not look forward to it, even that person has much to be thankful for if they stop and think about it. And I think that is really one of the things that we're wanting this show today to do, this hour that we are together. It's a real reminder that regardless of what we've gone through, some of us have had a difficult year. And I think most Americans the past year and a half could say that. It's been a tough time with the pandemic. And even though we're at a state of it being different than it was a year ago, let's say in Thanksgiving.
Right.
But we're still coming out of some difficult times. And we can all be thankful for the fact that we are indeed coming out of it. And that's something that we just can't lose sight of.
Yeah, I think so, Mike. It's a good reminder. This season of time is a good reminder, and especially Thanksgiving Day. If you don't have family around, but you are a Christian, you know, the biggest and greatest single need that we have as humans is to be reconciled to God. And the fact that if you're there and you may not have, maybe your family's not saved and you don't have a saved mother and father or saved siblings or whatever, and you're just, you know, that loneliness can be dissipated by your personal relationship with Jesus, because he is really all that we need. And as we grow in our love for the Lord, he will take that place of not having an earthly father. He is our heavenly father, and he may take the place of even a mom or another relative that you may have been close to or not close to. And God wants us during this time to make sure that we are grateful and thankful, first and foremost, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to reconcile us back to him. That is where a heart of thankfulness, a heart of gratitude is expressed to other people, because we're just really imitating God, as the Bible tells us to do. Be imitators of God as beloved children. And that's what we want to do. And walk in love, it says, Ephesians chapter 5. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that and reflecting Christ by being men and women who are grateful.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Now, you know, you grew up not there in Gainesville. You grew up in Orlando, and I know you mentioned your mom living next door to you. And you grew up in a single family home for a number of years until Hoops came around. And I know I know them. I know your dear family so well and love them all so deeply. And for our listeners, if you didn't know, it was my privilege to serve alongside this man for about 17 and a half years there at Abundant Grace in Gainesville. And my goodness, a good chunk of our life and a big part of our heart will always be right there in Gainesville, and just will always be grateful for those years that we had of serving together and the fine people that were part of Abundant Grace, and still many of them are still there, of course, and we love them all so deeply. But those were wonderful years together there. And I tell you, you're now getting to live next. That's got to be really cool at this stage of your life to be living literally next door to your mom. You still got your mom, and she's doing well.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like it. You're right. You know, growing up in a single parent home, I was one of those that didn't have that father. My dad left when I was 5 years old, and we didn't reconnect until I was 32, so some 27 years later. And but, you know, God brought my stepdad into the picture about when I was 16, 17 years old. And he's been a source of joy and strength for us as a family, but my mom did a great job of reminding us as children growing up, me and my siblings, that that God was our father, that even though we may not have an earthly father, God is our father, and he will meet every need that we have. And I saw it growing up over and over again. Of every need that we had as a family, God provided, always at the right time. It wasn't more than enough. It was just the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has always been etched in my mind. And one of the reasons why I am so grateful to God for his love and mercy and kindness just over the years.
Now, I know, Phil, you've got a big family yourself, five kids. And there's got to be, either with your own now immediate family, or perhaps years ago when you were growing up as a young man, what would be some of your Thanksgiving memories that might roll around this time of year every time? What goes on in your mind?
Oh man, let me tell you what. We Thanksgiving, like I said, the extended family is just wild, and just had a great time. Even growing up as a child, my aunts and uncles, I don't have a musical bone in my body, but my aunts and uncles could just walk up, play any type of instrument at any time. Some of my kids have picked that gift up from them. But we would we would sit around. They would come over Thanksgiving and break out the pianos. It was like a modern, back in the day before karaoke was anything. This was our modern version of karaoke.
Oh, my goodness.
And we would just sing songs and laugh and run around and play. And it was just a wonderful time. And even now, as I'm an adult and have my own children, this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful because all of five of my children and their spouses are going to be with us this Thanksgiving. And so I got the grandchildren with me. And it's just a wonderful time of getting together and catching up with some that you haven't seen. You don't ever see them except at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good catching up and good just being apart and just being able to communicate just your love and gratefulness for everybody. And it really draws the family together.
It really is a wonderful kickoff, too, to the whole month of December and Christmas season right around. And I know that one of the things that you were always so good at, and that is playing sports. And I can think of so many Thanksgiving Day basketball games back in the day that we've even enjoyed some of those days together. Will there be a hoops game going outside the Corson home this year?
Yes, there will be. There will be, right. Of course, a hoops game going on. You know, they're going to hit all different ages. As you know, we extended our driveway, our patio, so I just put up a new basketball goal, and so that will be taking place. You can bank on it.
Oh, my God. Oh, no pun intended, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
For those that would not know, no kidding, Phil is a fine ball player, and you had one of the abilities that I never really could understand, but you had the abilities to be a winner. It didn't matter, Phil, whether you were coaching or whether you were playing, your team always won. I don't know how you did that, but it was A, legal, because B, you were good.
Well, that was certainly the mercy and grace of God, for sure. But yeah, I've had some wonderful success over the years, and it's now for fun and we are enjoying it, but it's great getting the family out there and playing with now my grandchildren as well as my sons. So it's going to be fun.
That sounds like it's going to be a great day. Now, I know that so many in the church there in Gainesville that you serve alongside, a lot has changed with this whole vaccine thing. A lot has happened recently with obviously the pandemic, and I'm grateful that it is getting better. We're coming out of from what it was like in the beginning, for
right.
Sure.
Sure.
But yet there's vestiges left, the whole vaccine mandate that's being talked
right.
about. How is all of that affecting you guys?
Yeah, as a church, you know, certainly as a family, you know, we're all doing well. You know, we're leaving it up to the individual conscience of each person in our family, whether to be vaccinated or not. And the same thing with the church. You know, many people, especially those in that are older, 60 plus, many of them got vaccinated. But the younger generation, they're just kind of waiting and to see. It has certainly been a source of controversy, you know, but this is where we have to maintain, as believers in particular, we have to maintain a unity of peace and of love and give the freedoms for the individuals to make their own choices and their own decisions.
You know, we're living in a day, Phil, where it's more and more apparent how divided our country is. And this has been one of those touchstone issues that's actually contributed to some of that division. I'm hearing of people who are sending out wedding invitations and asking people not to come if they're not vaccinated. I mean, that's the kind of thing that is now happening. It seems crazy. It's like we woke up and what in the world has happened to our country? At times I do feel that way. I don't know if any of that has come, or if you've seen anything like that, but we're really needing to stay together this year and really come together the church, especially, and as believers, because we're living in a time of a divided world.
Yes, we are. I think you know, one of the things that as we walk through this journey, and especially in Thanksgiving, I know it's very family to family is different. You know, I'm sure I'm sure you're probably going to be reading about it that, hey, if you're not vaccinated, don't come to Thanksgiving. I mean, we haven't had that issue within the context even of my extended family. That's why I think we're having, you know, 45, 50 people here on Thursday. You know, everybody's excited to see everybody, and I'm sure there are some that have been vaccinated and there's some that are not, but it doesn't seem to be the driving factor. We've tried to keep a, not only in our church, but also in our home and with our extended families, we've tried to keep everybody at the level of what your conscience say, and everybody has given everybody room for whatever decisions that it is, and nobody's tried to look down on the other or curse them for not doing it or curse them for doing it, getting the vaccine or not. So, you know, but you're right, Mike, that is not how Christ has called us to live. And we want to display the love of Christ in so many different ways. And, you know, we always must remember that, you know, that it is the Lord who is in control and knows the number of days that we're to live on this earth. And that's where a lot of people are trusting him. And, you know, and so we just want to give those people room. Or you have people like me that, you know, I had COVID and still have the antibodies in me some 18 months later. And just gave plasma and platelets last week, last Wednesday. I gave it again, and that was I think my ninth time in 16 months, or I think it was 17 months, whatever it's been.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a part of the provision for people who are needing it. My guest today is Phil Corson. We'll be back with him in a moment. This is a special Thanksgiving Eve edition of Afternoons with Mike. We'll be right back here on The Shepherd. On the line with me, my dear friend Phil Corson, from Abundant Grace right here in Gainesville. And, you know, Phil, when we think about this wonderful eve of Thanksgiving tomorrow, we've talked about it. Families are going to be coming together. They're going to be sitting around a table and eating probably more than they normally eat. And that's all wonderful. And just leave room for lots of pumpkin pies, what I say. But when they do that, it's going to be so much fun to be together with people. And then afterwards, some people like to go to watch movies. Other people get out and go for a walk or play basketball like you'll be doing in your backyard. But one thing that it struck me as I was thinking about the spiritual implications of this day of Thanksgiving is the fact that so many people tie events like this day that we'll all enjoy tomorrow, they tie them to whether or not good things from their perspective are happening in their lives. They're happenings, and they're thankful if the happenings are great, but there's a tendency in a lot of people to not maybe catch the fact that regardless of whether happenings are great, we have so much to be thankful for. And the Bible really does speak a lot to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, I think, Mike, that gratefulness, thankfulness, gratitude, all these characteristics, I think, first of all, they're fruits of the Spirit, thankfulness is. And I think that is something that we need to cultivate in our lives as Christians. That gratefulness and gratitude and thankfulness should be something that we exude and show forth out of our life on a daily basis, not just during a season of time like we are around Thanksgiving, but because, like I mentioned earlier, is that we should be thankful because of what God has done in sending Jesus for us. And you can go through and look up thankfulness or gratefulness in scripture, and you're going to see tons of scripture. I mean, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I mean, there it is right there, man. He's telling us to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And then on Sunday, I just happened to mention Colossians 2:6-7, where it says, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So here we are to give thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians says. Then Colossians tells us to abound in thanksgiving. I just can't think of any other description or trait, virtue, whatever you want to say, mm-hmm. that a Christian should demonstrate on a consistent basis is this trait of being thankful.
Yeah, and yeah, isn't it true that each and every one of us, and I'm certainly right there, each and every one of us need to remind ourselves to do just that. I don't know what it is about our human nature. I don't know what it is about the fact that it is so easy for us to kind of get our eyes off of all that we've been given, all that God has done, all that he provides, all that he faithfully brings about in our lives. And in just a moment, it's like we can think that we're destitute and broken and without hope. I mean, that happens to most everybody at one point or another, yet we have to keep, and this is a training thing. It's something that we have to discipline ourselves in, and that is to remember that as it says in the Old Testament, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, you know, one of the traits that we have and what is of our nature, our sinful nature, is that we're always going to be ungrateful, and we're always going to be critical. That's our natural default button. Galatians talks about that the flesh and the spirit are at war with one another. Well, my flesh wants to be ungrateful. My flesh wants to be critical, but I've got to feed myself on the Word of God and fall in love with Jesus more and let the gospel of Jesus Christ work through me. And because, you know, Galatians 2:20 is very clear that Phil Corson has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I, Phil, who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that gives me hope that I'm going to become this person that is grateful rather than become this person that just stays in the flesh and all I am is just critical and ungrateful. Mm-hmm. I want to be transformed by the power of God and be able to allow the Holy Spirit to use me to put to death ungratefulness and criticalness and put on gratefulness, thankfulness, joy, love, all those things to thank God for what he's done.
Yeah, so often, isn't this true? You just use that expression, we have to put it on. So often we think about things that we need to rid ourselves of in life in order to maybe feel better about how we're walking, or, you know, and a lot of people, their theology is kind of maybe pointing them to think that their behavior is what causes even the grace of God or the love of God to be more evident in their life. And we know that's not true from the Word, because the only reason we have all of those things, it's not because of what we did, it's because of what Christ did. But that kind of thinking gets us off. And I'm telling you, when you put off things, you have to put on something. And I think that emphasis on the putting on is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is something that every day you literally, like, you have to, you know, Ephesians tells us to put on the armor of God. You have to put on this righteousness that's there, and begin to, you have to think differently, as Romans 12 talks about. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to think differently. And when we begin to think differently, we're going to speak differently. We're going to act differently. And it just is a natural progression as you put on Christ and you put on the fruit of the Spirit and you develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And all of those virtues, all of those traits of the fruits of the Spirit should be evident on a consistent basis in your life.
I love it. You know, when you were talking about that, I thought of this. Kind of the difference between these two words, both beginning with R. When things happen in our lives that are difficult, we can do one of two things. We can either react or we can respond. And what you're talking about, all of these things, the spirit of thankfulness and having a grateful heart and keeping our mind on the blessings of God, they help us to do the latter, to respond. And not to just react. The world is full of people who are really doing nothing but reacting today. Isn't that the truth?
It really is. And, you know, this is one of the things, you know, you want to talk about responding, you know, to things when bad things happen to you. And even now that 1 Thessalonians 5 passage that we read where it said, give thanks in all circumstances. I wanted to just share a little story about Matthew Henry, the famous scholar and commentary writer. He wrote in his diary when he was once confronted by thieves and robbed. And this is what he wrote in his diary. There were four things that he was thankful for and grateful for, and this is what he wrote. He said, let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. That was the first one. And then he said, second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. And his third thing that he was grateful for was because although they took my all, it was not much. And then this fourth one, which he was grateful for, really impacted me. And it says this, and fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Mm-hmm. And so you can see in those, there's a man that has walked through life and experiences life, wants to give God glory in all situations, and even thanking God for those four reasons that it gave. But that last one shows you the power of the gospel and how he understands, because he says, it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. And we know, apart from the grace of God, we would probably be doing the same thing that we many times of the things that happened to us. And so just find something to be grateful for, in particular during this season. One of the challenges that I gave my church on Sunday, as we were talking about Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and it said, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And I challenged the church to, during this Thanksgiving day, that they go around and honor their father and mother, or honor a spouse. Go and look to honor somebody. Thank them. Express gratefulness and gratitude for that individual. I mean, what a better time to do that than at Thanksgiving, to give thanks to someone, to honor your mother, your father, to honor your wife, your husband, to even honor your children, but to be able to express gratefulness and gratitude and honor them for the life they've lived and the way that they've loved or and whatever, because in any situation you can find something to be thankful for in any individual.
And how meaningful is it to do that? I remember your saying that reminds me of a trip I made one year back up to Indiana to visit my parents. And this was probably, I guess, 10 years ago now, Phil, when this would have happened, maybe 15. I'm up there and I don't know what it was that happened that brought all of this so close to my mind. But I'm back in the city now in which I had grown up in. And I remembered my music teacher, the man in my grade school years, elementary school years, who taught me, first of all, how to read music and how to play music. I played in the orchestra. And I was that year, I was overwhelmed with just memories of thinking about how grateful, because music went on to be such a big part of my life and such a form of enjoyment in my life, of being able to play guitar and lead in worship and just be a part of a band that would praise the Lord and all of these kinds of experiences. And I don't know what it was, but I was moved in that moment to try to find him. And lo and behold, I found a phone number. I had no idea whether that phone number was accurate or up to date, but it was listed, and I called that number, and I want you to know that he answered the phone. And he had long been retired. He was well up in, I think, his 80s, and I was able to have the most warm and wonderful conversation with him, and I thanked him for all that he provided in my life when he didn't even know he was doing that. And even he was a guy that told me this. He said, you know, you can practice your music when you're walking to school carrying your horn in your hand. And he said, because we have the ability, God's given us the ability to imagine things like playing and practice and seeing the motions of on that saxophone that I played back then, where your fingers go and all of this. We can rehearse those things, he said, even while we're walking. Well, I thought when I first heard him say that he was crazy. But you know what? I found out he's exactly right. And to this day, I can rehearse because of muscle memory in your brain. We can do those kinds of things. Well, I was able to say to that man, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I want you to know that I heard about a year later that he passed away. How grateful I was that God had moved on my heart on that day, that I had the opportunity. It all came together. Everything was right. I was able to reach him. He happened to be home when I called, and I got him on the phone, and he remembered me, and it was one of the most delightful conversations, and I was able to say thank you.
Yeah, that's a powerful story, Mike. And, you know, that's what I want to encourage every listener. You know, words of encouragement bring life. They bring life to individuals. They breathe life into people. And when we can express thankfulness and gratitude, not only to God, but to those that are closest to us, or maybe even those that we work with, if we can look and bring words of encouragement to them, we are going to bring life to them. And it will it will mend relationships. It will also grow relationships, but it will also bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear. Mm-hmm. Because people will want to know, why are you so thankful? Why are you so grateful? And you can go right into the gospel on that.
You know, and because of the fact that it's true, regardless of how we may feel at any given moment, God has given us a deep well of gratitude, whether or not we realize it's there. If we stop, and it's just like what happens when if you've ever gotten a drink of water like I did when I was a kid, you don't necessarily see the water when you drop that bucket down a well. But boy, I learned early on that there was always water in that well. And when I would drop that bucket, I would hear the bucket hit the water and it splashed. And then we would crank that thing up and the coolest, wonderful water that I ever had tasted as a young man, it was full. The well was full. And that's what God has done. He's given us a well of gratitude. And man, it's not lacking.
Amen, brother. Amen.
My guest today is Phil Corson from Abundant Grace here in Gainesville on this special Thanksgiving edition of my program. We'll be back for one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're right here on The Shepherd. Back on the line with one of my dear friends in my life, Phil Corson. Altogether, my goodness, I've known this guy for over 30 years, and it's 17 of those years we served together in Gainesville. Another 7 years before that, we served together here in where I am today in Orlando. But we're coming over now over these two fine stations that we have, an AM and an FM, WTMN, AM, FM there in Gainesville. And I'm able to talk about these things with my dear friend on the line, Phil Corson. At Abundant Grace, you know, I'm just praying, Phil, will be one of those special holiday seasons tomorrow when Thanksgiving happens in light of all of the stuff that we've all lived through. I just am believing that we're going to be able to put all of that aside and enjoy and make new memories that are deep, wonderful, and really meaningful with our family members. I know you'll be doing that.
Yes, and you know, there's no greater time than to be with family and just to be able to express your love for each other, to have a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. We're going to have a lot of laughs, and in the midst of all of the confusion that is happening in our world, in the midst of everything that seems, prices seem to be going sky high on everything, it's nothing better than to remind ourselves what's most important, and that's family.
It is. And obviously, as believers, you've mentioned this already, our gratefulness should be off the chart for the fact that we have a Savior, for the fact that Jesus came when he didn't have to. I love that old song that we sang years and years ago. He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away, and that's exactly what he did. He came when he wouldn't have had to, but because of the great love that the Lord has for us, he gave his only begotten Son. And that is a chief reason. Now, there's something, before we get to talking about a few things going on there in the city, I did have another question a request of you. And that would be putting your pastor's hat on right now. There are a lot of people, as we mentioned, that are going to be gathering as families. And one of the special things that my prayer is this year is that husbands will be more grateful for their wives than ever. And in knowing you and Kay's relationship, your relationship, I know that you can resonate with that request, because I know you're thankful for your wife.
I am very thankful for her. We are on 39 and a half years of marriage, 5 wonderful children. She is a delight and joy to me. And one of the things that, I have over the last number of months here, she has been going up and caring for her mom and dad, and her dad is in heart failure and doesn't look like he has much longer to live. And so she's been caring for them for about the last 6 months and coming home on the weekends or, you know, for a time now. Basically, she's there full time until maybe her sisters come for a weekend or so. But it's been a joy to have her when she comes home, or I'm talking to her on the phone 2-3 times a day and just checking on her. But there's nothing like having her here. So she got home Monday, and we've just been hanging out together, and just be able to hold her and hug her and love on her has just been great. And so I'm definitely thankful for my wife. Her crown in heaven is going to be very big for marrying a guy like me. And so She is a joy to me, and I'm so grateful to God that he smiled on me and blinded her just for a moment so that she would say yes to my asking her to marry me. And so that's what happened.
Well, that's great. Kay's, she is a wonderful person, and we're praying for her, for all of what she's going through, caring, as you said, for her dad. And we know that those are difficult times and tough for anybody to go through because of the love that they have for their parents. But again, please know we'll be praying with her and with you during this time, because it's not easy when you have one of the other, the husband or the wife, leaving for those days. It's tough on them in other ways, too, and it's tough on you when she's away. But God gives grace for those moments, and that's all part of what he loves us through. Gainesville's gone through a tough week with regards to our Florida Gators, man. So we know we've got a need for a new coach. One more game. What has been the attitude and the atmosphere like this week for those that you know that are big Gator fans there?
Yeah, I mean, the whole city is obviously abuzz. And, you know, I mean, anytime you're at a high-powered university like the University of Florida, you're always going to have rabid fans and what they think. But I think, you know, people just trying to understand, you know, such a year, came on off SEC East champs last year, had big expectations for this year. I think it was a preseason number 8 or 9 ranking, and now to be, you know, 5 and 7. Was not quite what we thought, and especially after the first couple games where we looked good. But after that, it just seems like I think we've lost 5 in a row now or something like that, and that's just unheard of.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think, you know, people, you know, just not only in Gainesville but the state of Florida and even beyond, have just been, you know, perplexed as to why all this has happened. And with the firing of Dan Mullen this week, I believe it was Monday, you know, it was sad, you know, because, you know, again, we can find gratefulness in anything. We want to thank Mullen for what he did for us for the 4 years that he was here. You know, like I said, they were SEC champs last year. He's taken the team to wonderful heights, but I think what they're looking for is just something a little bit more consistent of winning, not these ebbs and flows and ups and downs of year to year. But, you know, they have pretty high standards here. But, you know, we know that God is in control, and we know that he's got the right coach coming in. I've personally been praying for Coach Mullen and his staff. And, you know, I know I'm not praying for them, you know, but they're going to be fine financially. I think it's
I don't think that's going to be a problem for him.
Right. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, should we all suffer like that? Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're fired. Here's $12 million. You know, here's $6 million in the first 30 days, and then $1 million after that for the next 6 years. Well, I think I could live on it.
Yeah, but, there's a few turkeys that can be bought with that, right?
That's exactly right. And so we're not crying too much for him, but, you know, but it's still a hard thing emotionally. It's hard on the family, you know. I pray for his wife. I pray for his children, because people can be mean. That's just the way. There's no other way to say it. And we have to remember it's a game, and these are people's lives at stake.
Yes.
And, you know.
And young players now, that you are working so hard.
And that's exactly right. And the young players that are there as well. So there's a lot going on. But, it's a buzz. Everybody's, you know, every time I turn around, there's a new article of a potential new coach and who's going to come. And I don't know who they're looking at. I know that the main guy, I think a lot would like to have Bob Stoops. And then I just saw an article today where they were saying that Virginia Tech and Florida are after the same coach. And that is the coach from Louisiana, Bill Napier, I think his name is. And so he's had success over the last couple of years there in Louisiana. And so he's, I guess, a new fresh face, up and coming And so they may be looking at him. So who knows? There's a lot of openings out there in college football. I mean, you got LSU, you've got just a bunch of others that are opening up, and probably more by the end of the season comes. And that's my thing. Who are you going to get? I mean, all the big name coaches are already taken. So you're taking a chance on somebody that, you know, because you come to the University of Florida, you're coming with some big shoes to fill and some big expectations.
You know, I remember back to the time that Ron Zook came, and of course he was a member of the church there at Abundant Grace when he was in Gainesville, and you know, the shoes that he was asked to fill were the shoes of Steve Spurrier. And there's no small order in that little call, right?
Right. that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's
you never want to follow a legend.
That's right.
And he did. And that's not a way you want to go.
Right. But what a fine guy he is. And I know the Gators are going to rebound. As they say, every game time, it's great to be a Florida Gator. And it really is.
Right.
I'm a Gator dad. I didn't attend classes myself there, but I arranged for three of my kids to graduate from there. So
yes, you did.
So I've got a little bit of stake there, and I love the sports. And I know one of the things that you love really is basketball, and that's about now. It's already here. Gator basketball is happening, and that's coming up.
Is.
So there's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure, there in the old Ocano Center, now the Exactech Arena, is going to be just buzzing with fun with Gator basketball.
Yeah, they just cracked in, I think, to the top 25. Watched them play last night for a little bit as I was at Gators dockside with my son watching the Monday night football game and watching the Gator basketball game simultaneously. They were playing California, and I believe they were up. When I left, I didn't see the ending, but they were up by 14 or 15 going into the second half. So hopefully they pulled it out. And so they're playing well. And Coach White seems to be doing a good job. And one thing I can say about the Gator basketball team is they seem to be playing for him, hustling.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be real good. So we'll see.
Well, I'm very, very excited for all of this year, and it's so much fun to be able to keep up with the Gators and love them. And having had now, again, a good portion of my life spent right there with you guys in Gainesville, it will always be a part of my life, and as will you, my friend. And I'm so grateful that you've been able to spend this time with me.
You bet. Well, you know, Mike, the Saturday after Thanksgiving is always Florida FSU, so...
That is right.
Have you got the big game coming up on Saturday in Gainesville?
Now for
Florida State.
Now here you are one that for many, many years, we would always have thought that a church plant location for you would have been Tallahassee because you were the biggest FSU fan I'd ever known. And then God pulled a number and called you to move to Gainesville. And you've done a great job of becoming a Gator fan. So this is now always a big game, like you said, the last game of the year. And the Gators have a chance to go bowl eligible if they can win it. But a lot of people are saying that's a high order right now, being without their coach and an interim coach stepping in. So what's going to happen in the game, man?
Well, man, I tell you what, this one's up in the air. I have no predictions on this one. There's this one because the advantage that they have is that they're playing at home in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida always plays, and the crowd should be there and fired up to support the players. But we'll see.
And they're playing for a bowl, too.
Yeah, they're playing for a bowl. I'm not sure. I think the winner gets to six games. I'm not sure what Florida State's record is right now. So Florida State may be playing for a bowl game as well. But, it's been a rough season for both schools. I think it's a 12 noon game. And whenever it's a 12 noon game, you know your record is not where it needs to be.
That's true.
If they were both 9-1, they would be playing at 7 o'clock.
That's
on Saturday
right.
Night.
Prime
not
time,
at 12
baby.
Noon, right. Not at 12 noon on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Something right there.
Well, my friend, it has been fun to catch this, all getting caught up with you on this eve of Thanksgiving. We wish you and your kids and your wife the happiest of Thanksgiving. And thank you again for those wonderful thoughts on thankfulness and gratefulness. And we wish you the best, Phil.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the time, and give our love to Cindy and the family, all the children. And have a great Thanksgiving, brother.
God bless you. And friends, thank you. Have a great time tomorrow. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your family. And we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.